Well, we are starting a new sermon series today called By Another Road, Reflections on the Revelation of Jesus. Now, this is normally the part where I give some sort of introduction or give some sort of overview of the series, but to do so would steal everything from my sermon. So hopefully our sermon will shed some light on what the sermon or what the sermon series will look like. But for those that like to plan ahead, through January and February, we'll be following the gospel lectionary text for the most part. And again, hopefully throughout the sermon, it will make sense, this phrase, by another road. But we'll reflecting on this idea of by another road as it comes to these passages. So we'll be spending some time in Matthew chapter 4, Matthew chapter 5, starting to work our way a little bit into the Sermon on the Mount. Now, I say all of that with two caveats. The first caveat is we are not following the series next week because next week is Covenant Sunday. So this is a Sunday that we take each year to recognize that being a community is a unique thing, and to be a community that functions in a healthy way, sometimes that requires coming back to this covenant to one another and covenanting to our mission as a church. And so we'll spend some time reflecting on that, and I think we have a meaningful way of covenanting together, which also includes communion. And then the week after that, this is the second caveat, it's MLK weekend, and so I don't know exactly what we're doing yet, but I think we're going to do something MLK related and acknowledging this prophetic voice just a generation past. So that's where we're headed, but we have a sermon ahead of us, so let's pause for a word of prayer as we dive in. Loving God, we are so grateful for this chance to hit pause in our busy weeks and to gather together with our sisters and our brothers. God, we give you thanks for the scriptures and this chance that we have to open them and wrestle with them together. As we do so, we acknowledge that your Spirit is here among us, and we ask that your Spirit would lead us and guide us and shape us into the image of Jesus. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Have you ever had an experience that caused you to reconsider everything? There's a moment in your life or an experience that you have that causes you to stop and reconsider everything up to that point, or maybe reconsider your perspective on everything from that point on. I had one such moment 3.5 years ago, right after we moved to Canton. In fact, it was the day after we moved to Canton, and no, this experience did not cause me to reconsider our move to Canton. But this moment came in the form of Darren calling me and saying, hey, I would like to take you and Allie out to dinner. We thought, well, we know nobody. We have no food in our house and our pans are packed away. So sure, we'll go out to dinner with you, Darren. So Darren said he had a place downtown that he wanted to take us. And so we pull up at the corner of 4th and Walnut, and we get out and we walk into a restaurant by the name of Deli Ohio. So we walk up. I look at the counter, and I'm reading the menu behind it, and the words turkey, bacon, avocado leap off the page at me. And I think, can all of this exist on one sandwich? This is the trifecta, right? And so we order, and we sit down, and we start eating. And I'm sure Darren is sharing all sorts of beautiful things and all sorts of wisdom, but everything just kind of fades away, and I'm just having a moment here with my sandwich. And I know that what's happening on the corner of 4th and Walnut with this sandwich will cause me to reconsider everything from that point on. Because what happened is I had the most wonderful sandwich of my life. And I had to reconsider every sandwich that I had had up to that point. And I knew that every other sandwich in my life would have to compare to the sandwich right here, right now. It was a moment that forced me to reconsider everything. We all have these experiences throughout our life, right? Maybe not with a turkey, bacon, avocado, but we all have these moments in our lives, these moments, these experiences, these encounters that cause us to reconsider everything. Sometimes these are really good experiences, right? Like the birth of a child, or starting a job, or entering into retirement, or maybe reading a book that puts into words everything that you have been wrestling with for far too long. But sometimes these moments, these experiences, these encounters can be not so pleasant things. The death of a loved one, going through a divorce, or the loss of a job. Regardless, with all of these moments, these experiences, these encounters, these are times that cause us to stop and look back and reconsider everything up to this point, or cause us to stop and reconsider our perspective and what we think about the future moving forward. Now, at the central point of our scriptures, the focal point of our scriptures, stands one such moment, one such encounter, one such experience that caused all of humanity and all of creation itself to stop and reconsider everything. And this moment, this experience, this encounter is the incarnation of Jesus. This thing that we just celebrated at Christmas, this time when God took on flesh and came and dwelt among us and lived among us as humans, this moment, this experience, this encounter that caused all of humanity, all of creation itself, to stop and reconsider everything. Now, Matthew's gospel tells of a story of a group of foreign travelers who had an encounter with this Jesus that caused them to reconsider everything. Now, the story is the story of the wise men, and the story of the wise men is celebrated on today, which is Epiphany, right? Now, Epiphany is a word that can mean manifest or appeared, which are really boring words. And so I like the way that one commentator puts it when she said, Epiphany means to show up, show on, and show out, which just carries a bit more gusto to it, right? And this is what Epiphany is. We come to this time where we recognize that Jesus showed up, shone on, and shone out to the Gentiles, to those outside of the ethnic people of God. And this began to be the moment where those outside of the ethnic people of God were welcomed into the people of God, which feels like an awful lot of good news, right? So Matthew tells the story of the wise men like this. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. He says, in the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage. So Matthew begins the story by introducing us to two characters, the first one being King Herod. Now, it's generally a good practice anytime in the scriptures, either Old Testament or New Testament, if an author introduces us to a king of Judea or king of Israel or king of the Jews, to ask ourselves the question, is this a good guy or a bad guy? Because often this helps us understand what the author's trying to communicate any time that there's interactions with this king. So King Herod, good guy, bad guy? Bad guy. Real bad guy, actually. Why was he a bad guy? Well, he had this title and this position as king of the Jews, but the problem was he wasn't actually Jewish. He came from a line of people who were distant cousins to the Jews. But you may be asking, how then did he get this position as king of the Jews? Well, this is another reason why he's a bad guy. See, he vocalized his support of the Roman occupation of the Jewish homeland, which again, nobody liked the Romans, so this did not bode well for his approval ratings, right? So, you have Herod, who is this bad guy, who's an illegitimate king in many ways and serves as Rome's puppet. This is the first character here. The second character we have are the wise men. Now, scholars have suggested that the wise men were astrologers, people that care about stars and planets and the alignment of stars and planets, which makes sense that they were looking at the star or looking at the skies and noticed the star hovering above Judea. But some scholars would also suggest that the wise men were maybe political representatives of the nation of Persia. Now, Persia is modern-day Iran, and quick side note, considering everything that's happening in the news surrounding the nation of Iran, let's recognize that some of the first people to come before Jesus were from this nation. And so anytime that we want to draw distinctions of God is on our side or God is on their side, let us at least recognize that some of the first people to recognize God in flesh among us came from Iran. And maybe, just maybe, it's not quite as black and white as we want it to be. Back away from my side, no. So these were maybe some sort of political representatives from Persia, modern-day Iran. And so it makes sense that they would come and honor, as they say, this newborn king. So they come and they want to pay homage to this king, which is, again, a political term, which says, I'm acknowledging and submitting myself to your political authority. So you have a king that nobody likes, who is very, like, egomaniacal, and you have these foreigners coming and saying, hey, we heard there's a new king, we want to worship him. You can imagine this would be an awkward encounter, right? It would be like a neighbor coming and knocking on your door and saying, hey, we heard there's a new homeowner and we brought him cookies, and you're like, yeah, Glenn, we've been neighbors for 10 years. And it's like, no, no, no. There's a new homeowner, right? No. We saw the sign out front, and they're hopefully going to get rid of those terrible shrubs that I've been wanting you to get rid of for years. You can imagine how awkward this would be. This would be very uncomfortable. So you magnify it times a billion with this egomaniacal king who is very threatened by everything because he shouldn't even have this position. And you have the experience that's happening here. So Matthew tells us then, and when Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all of the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophets. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. So Herod hears that there's a new king that's born, and his response is, he's freaked. We're told that all of Jerusalem, which is probably a way of talking about his posse, right? His posse is freaked because their posse-ness depends on him being king, and if his kingship is threatened, then their posse-ness is threatened. And so he calls together all of the religious people and says, okay, so tell me about this Messiah, which tells us how good of a king of the Jews he was, right? Because he didn't actually know anything about the Messiah. And so they say, no, it's not going to happen in Jerusalem. It's going to happen in Bethlehem. Not in the capital, not in the grand city, but in this peasant village of Bethlehem. So Herod secretly called for the wise men, learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child. And when you've found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage. Which sounds like a good thing, right? But we know he's not a good dude. So this is all code word for, let me know his location so I can go and eliminate my threat. So when they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So they continue to follow the star until it stops, and then they walk in the house. They see Mary, and they see the baby Jesus. They pay him homage, recognize and acknowledge his political authority, submit to it, and then they give him gifts fit for a king. This is the story of Epiphany, and this is a celebration that's on the church calendar year after year after year. But this year, there was one detail at the end of the story that jumped out at me that I don't know that I've ever noticed before. So Matthew concludes the story like this. It says, and having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. I don't know that I've ever noticed this phrase, by another road, before, but it jumped out at me this year. So the wise men are warned in a dream not to return to Herod. We don't really know why, but we can deduce that Herod, having all the information that he needed from him, maybe would kill them. Or Herod, having this exact location of this threatening baby king, would go and eliminate his threat. We don't know why, but they're told not to return to Herod. So notice the order of events here. The wise men have some sort of epiphany of Jesus. The wise men have some sort of experience of Jesus. The wise men have some sort of encounter of Jesus. The wise men have some sort of revelation of Jesus. And this epiphany, this experience, this encounter, this revelation of Jesus causes them to change their course. See, prior to this epiphany, they were planning on returning back to Herod and tell Herod of his whereabouts. But after this epiphany, after this experience, after this encounter, after this revelation, it no longer seemed to be a priority to go back to Herod, but rather they go back by another road. After this revelation of Jesus, what had once made sense no longer made sense. And while they were once concerned with honoring Herod's political authority, after having this revelation of Jesus, none of that seemed to matter anymore. In light of the revelation of Jesus, everything had changed. And the path in which they came was no longer the path in which they could return. Matthew ends the story with this phrase, by another road, which I think is meant as like a literal sense, right? Like they came up I-77 north into town, and they went back by another road, taking Cleveland Avenue south, right? There's a literal sense to it. But I think there's also a symbolic sense to it. that they had experienced something that had caused them to reconsider everything. See, having encountered Jesus, having experienced the revelation of Jesus, the wise men knew that they could not go back the same road that they had come. But rather, they knew that they would have to go back by another road. And the wise men discovered something that we too must discover. And that is that the revelation of Jesus requires us to reconsider everything. Having an encounter of God in Christ, having an experience of God in Christ, we can no longer go back by the same roads. We can no longer continue on with the same patterns, the same perspectives, the same habits, the same values that we once had. But rather, having experienced Jesus, we, like the wise men, must go back by another road. When we were in college, Allie and I had the good fortune of doing a program that our school offered called the Urban Ministry Experience. So I've talked about this before. But we had the chance to live in an urban neighborhood and a neighboring neighborhood. And I lived in a house with three guys, and Allie lived in a house with three or four girls. And we got connected with the local church in that neighborhood. And we got connected with a nonprofit that partnered with that church and worked with the youth in the neighborhood. By the way, does that sound familiar to anybody? And during this time, we got to know the people at the church that really loved this neighborhood. We got to know some of the neighbors in the neighborhood. We got to know some of the youth in the neighborhood. But we also were made aware of like the ugly reality of racism and the ugly reality of poverty in the world. And we began to just have our eyes open. We began to have this experience, this, dare I say, revelation of Jesus in that space. I can remember one time Allie and I were processing this experience, and she said, "Ignorance really is bliss." And she didn't mean this in like a derogatory way towards anybody else, but just acknowledging that what we had experienced there changed us. That having our eyes open to racism meant that we could no longer ignore the ugly realities of racism. Having our eyes open to the ugly reality of poverty, we can no longer ignore poverty. That this had now become a burden in our lives, and this would radically alter our lives forever. Having had this experience, having had this revelation of Jesus in that place caused us to ask ourselves, how will we respond to this? And how will we move forward with our lives as a result of this? Now, this is a question that we all have to ask ourselves. When we have had an encounter with Jesus, when we have had an experience, when we have experienced a revelation of Jesus, we have to ask ourselves, how will we respond to this? Will we go back by the same road? Or will we, like the wise men, go back by another road? How will we respond? What will we do when we encounter Jesus, when we have a revelation of Jesus in the places that we would least suspect? Because, again, acknowledge that Jesus wasn't born in Jerusalem, the place where everybody thought he would be, or where the outsiders thought he would be. But instead, he was born in the back village of Bethlehem, the place that they least suspected. So what will we do? How will we respond when we experience a revelation of Jesus and somebody who identifies as either L or G or B or T or Q? What will we do when we encounter a person who is filled with the fruit of the Spirit, who radiates the light of Christ? Will we go back by the same road? Or will we go back by another road? Or what will we do, how will we respond when we experience a revelation of Jesus in somebody who watches Fox News or CNN? Will we go back by the same road using labels like ignorant conservative or snowflake liberal? Or will we go back by another road recognizing that there has to be a better, a third way of dealing with our shared life together that we call politics? Or what will we do, how will we respond when we have a revelation of Jesus in that part of the city? This part of the city where we lock our doors and try to get through as fast as we can, or this part of the city that we show up once a week and don't think about it again until that same time next week. What will we do? How will we respond to this revelation of Jesus? Will we go back by the same road, or will we go back by a different road, talking about that city differently, advocating for that part of the city differently, and maybe interacting with that part of the city differently and calling it home? See, whenever we have these encounters with Jesus, when we have this revelation of Jesus, we have to ask ourselves, how will we respond to this? Will we go back by the same road, or will we go back by another road, a road that has been shaped and formed by the revelation of Jesus? See, the story of Epiphany reminds us that God shows up in the places that we least suspect. But once we have these encounters with Jesus, once we have had these moments where Jesus is revealed, we have to ask ourselves, how will we respond? Why? Because the revelation of Jesus requires us to reconsider everything. Let's pray. Loving God, we give you thanks that you became knowable to us. God, that you did not hide in some far-off, distant heaven, but that heaven came to earth, and heaven is coming to earth, and that you took on flesh and dwelt among us. God, I pray that the incarnation would captivate us. God, thank you for being revealed in the person of Jesus, and thank you for all that that does and blowing up our world. God, I pray that we would have eyes to see the ways that you reveal yourself to us. And God, when we experience you in the places that we would least suspect, God, that we would have the courage to not just go back the way we came, but that we would have courage to go back by another road. God, over the next few weeks, as we spend time in the gospel lectionary, and we look at the early events of Jesus' ministry, God, I pray that we would have eyes to see the way that you were calling us to go back by another road. And God, that we would have courage to go back by another road. God, we love you, and we praise you, and pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.